This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. We are up to episode number 28, being recorded on Wednesday. It is September the 20th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
Week in and week out, a cruise ship magician treats a new audience to the same old illusions. The captain's parrot catches all the magician's performances and eventually figures out how the tricks are done. Soon the bird begins to give away the magician's secrets in the middle of the show by squawking things such as, "He's hiding a card up his sleeve!" That was my parrot, by the way. The magician is furious, yet he's powerless to do anything about it because the bird belongs to the captain. Then, one stormy night, the ship sinks, drowning everyone but the magician and the parrot. The two find themselves adrift on a piece of debris, staring at each other, hatefully, and not saying a word. After 5 days of quiet, the parrot speaks up and says, "Okay, I give up. Where's the fucking ship?"
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easton, my friends. Son of Easton, welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 20th of September, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I am thrilled and delighted to invite each and every one of you once again to our little bit of merriment. We got a great show for you today. We got a couple of new segments we're going to be introducing today. We're going to get caught up on some old segments today. And stuff and nonsense. But before we get going, even while the introductory music is playing, I should let you know that we have two very special guest hosts sitting in the hot seat across and to the side of me today. Back when I was at KSCO, these folks were both there. At the time, they were not otherwise engaged or related to each other. That has changed over time. I like to think that I had something to do with it. I didn't. I just like to think that I have something to do with it because I get very lonely at night. So we'll punch down the button. You may recognize some of the voices from some of the promos that we have done here. Say, Son of Easton to Dave Fowkes.
Son of Easton.
And Son of Easton to Susie Fowkes.
Son of Easton.
How are ya?
Great to be here, Robin.
You're both sitting in today. It's so weird. Normally when I look over here, I see Sean in one mic, and I see Parvis in the other mic. Sometimes Sherry's sitting in there. Sometimes John DeCoven of Win John DeCoven's Money. We got bright, smiling new faces. We got whole new faces today.
Sorry. I feel like I made the big time. I'm listening to the music and going, oh my God. I'm...
It really is the hot seat. The seat's burning up.
It's so funny because...
The seat of heat.
My friend, that's right. John Stewart, the seat of heat. Show fans?
Absolutely.
What's the next question coming? It's going to be a barn burner.
It's terrific. So Parvis is not able to be here this week or next week. This week he's got... he's got plumbing class, apparently, that got moved to Wednesday, and then next Wednesday is his birthday. And he would rather spend his birthday with his wife than with Sean and I in a hot, small second bedroom.
Oh, pfft.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Serious.
He's got to get
thank
his priorities.
You. That's all I'm saying. But you can tell he hasn't been married for very long.
Yeah. Well, if he's going to plumbing class, I understand that priority. And by the way, you can come over next week. We need some help in the house.
Absolutely.
Oh, apparently, you've not been listening to the show, my friends. He is not a commercial plumber. No. I mean, he's not a residential plumber. No. That's the lowest form of plumbing life. No, he's a commercial plumber.
Yeah.
So
everybody needs practice. We volunteer.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Anything blocked up even as we're speaking?
Well, that's kind of personal. The house is okay, but I'm a little...
Anyway.
So Dave and Susie will be sitting in. I know them both from KSCO, but they have many, many other credentials to their name, and they've got lots of stuff to talk about, so they're going to be with us today. We'll be hearing from Jason Nathanson. He's down in Los Angeles. He is super glued to a couch in his parents' basement. Mom and Dad are very, very proud of him, so Jason will be checking with us as he always does. And we've got a brand new segment today. Cool. I have a friend. Yeah, you guys are here for the introduction, the inaugural run, so to speak, of our new segment.
Yes.
I have a friend, Friggy. Everybody should have a friend named Friggy.
Friggy.
I have a friend named Friggy. Friggy has a daughter. His daughter goes to college. She's 20 years old. She's in Boston, and she's going to become our new correspondent for all things kind of Gen Y.
All the things that we thought we knew that we have suddenly forgotten.
So we're gonna get the hints today. Anyhow, that's what's going on. We're 6 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, and as always, we'd like to say hello to our regulars with us each and every week, Mr. Kip Adada, Michael Zwirling,
Stroke or Unload,
Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington, and of course, our two newest entries, we've got Ms. Whitney Houston.
Kiss my ass!
And of course, the talented Samuel L. Jackson.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Why are you covering your mouth? The idea is to laugh, I mean.
Don't tell anybody you're amused.
Oh, my. Don't get me started on the laughing.
She's a silent supporter.
That didn't do it for you, huh? Which one was it? Was it Zwirling? Was that the one that did it for you? I need to know.
I think that's where it started.
Oh, Zwirling always does it for me.
And they're laughing at you.
Maybe.
It'll
Maybe
clean you right out and put you in a much better mood.
And this is Michael.
On the brink of a nervous breakdown.
And this is Michael.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
No, wait, that's not right, no. And we have Sean.
We were hoping you would bring a dog.
There you go. All right.
So many friends.
So many friends. So much time. So many sounding buttons to push here on the show. So I haven't introduced. People recognize Dave's voice because he's on one of the aligners that we use in the middle of the program every week.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
That's right.
Something
that's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, something like
it's
that, which
while.
Works out. Yeah, it works out well. But you guys both spent a lot of time in radio. I mean, you actually got paid for being in radio.
Oh my God!
No, I think we actually paid.
Is that right?
We paid with our hearts and souls.
When you all added it up at the end of the day.
You know, yeah. We'll be going to hell because we sold our soul to Satan to work in
radio. No, no. You did lots of good things for lots of good people. And so now, are you still involved? What are you doing at this point? You have a little connection to the business.
I'm still in radio. Still do some traffic and stuff like that. Traffic, news, sports. Work for a service in the San Francisco Bay Area.
So people might actually hear your voice on the air.
People probably do, yeah. Here and there.
And you do traffic?
Most of the time I do traffic.
Does that mean you go up in the...
A lot of times I do the airborne traffic, fly around in little Cessna planes, and occasionally the helicopter that you're hearing. There you go. So yeah, you know, fly around the Bay Area, have a good old time, hope it's not too turbulent and all that good stuff.
Did you need training for that?
I think that you need a little training in terms of you have to know where you are, what the freeways might be, you know, stuff like that. Beyond that, no.
Really?
Yeah, beyond that, anybody can do it. If you can talk about, you know, hey, there's an accident there. It's slow from here to there. And I'm Dave. See you later. Bye.
Now, do you
it goes pretty quick. So you don't need a lot of training, but you do have to have some, radio sense, I suppose,
you know,
to be able to do it quickly.
You know how they say there's no crying in baseball? There's no training in radio. They just put you on the air and go for it. And if you get stressed out, oh well, because the managers won't be here to help you out.
There you go.
So
is it fun?
Yeah, it can be fun.
I mean, because I think it often seems glamorous to people who are not in the business.
Yeah, you know, it's glamorous in terms of, you know, you're on the air, you're talking. Is it fun? Not quite like doing something like we're doing now because it's not nearly as creative. I mean, most of the things I do are...
You could make the traffic up.
Yeah, well, I have.
And then watch what happens.
I do. For those who listen to me at KSCO, they know I used to make it up every morning.
It's from the Fish Hook down to 41st Avenue.
It's actually interesting. Every once in a while, I'm back on a Monterey station. A couple weeks or something like that, I'll be on a little Monterey station, and you still have those regular slowdowns. You know, it's
sure.
Like, oh, it's still slow, Capitola into Santa Cruz, through the construction zone. It's like, well, I can make this up. I only did it for like 7 years in Santa Cruz. I have no idea if it's there. I just know it's there. So,
but I mean, isn't it? Don't you sometimes feel like what was the movie with Jim Carrey where? Oh, The Truman Show.
Oh yeah,
where the big eye in the sky kind of. I mean, if I were. Well, this is why they're not letting me do traffic from a helicopter. But if I were doing it, I would tell people the wrong things just to watch the traffic move in interesting directions. Try to choreograph.
I actually had an experience like that.
Really?
Well, I didn't make it up. There was this.
Okay.
It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there was this interesting sort of setup on the accident where the way the lanes were merging and all this, it was like there were 2 or 3 lanes to the right side that were just backed up for miles, mm-hmm. and it was all about people trying to merge, onto Highway 80 going one direction. Mm-hmm. The 2 left lanes were pretty much, they stopped, maybe for a few feet while people were merging. But, for the most part, they just went flying by. So I'm up there in the plane circling this thing, and I'm telling people, just merge left. You get over there, and it's fine. You'll get right past this. There's plenty of room after the accident to merge over to the right. So what happens? Most people, you don't see any change. But every once in a while, you'll see this car that's like virtually perpendicular to the freeway trying to climb through traffic to get over to the left. I'm like, he was listening to me. There's somebody else. He was listening to me. Yep. Yeah, so I've created these little things where
you get your ratings.
Cars are seriously perpendicular to the freeway trying to get over. And I know that's not natural. They were listening to me. It was pretty cool.
You'd be very, very proud of yourself.
You're in the sky, and it's the voice of God talking to the people.
It is the voice of God.
Move left. Now.
So you do traffic. Do you do sports as well? Because that's how I know you. I mean, you're the sports guy.
Yeah, I work for...
Sports King.
Sorry about that.
That goes back a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I work for a service, so sometimes I'm on a radio station doing traffic. Sometimes it's in the sky doing it 10 seconds. Sometimes you're full traffic report for 60 seconds. Sometimes it's a sports report, and sometimes it's a news report. So that's what my radio connection now.
Full service, as they say.
Full service, bits and pieces at a time.
And he'll check your oil.
Could you give us a little traffic as we're going into the break here?
Absolutely.
All right.
It is pretty heavy southbound 85 from Highway 17 down to Camden Avenue, but then it loosens up as you head down towards 101.
All right.
You want more?
No, that's fine.
I can tell you. Let's see. It's drive time, afternoon drive time. Yeah, I can give you traffic for the entire Bay Area right now.
Or maybe during the break.
All right.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take our very first break. We're about 13 minutes into this first hour of Schnauzer Logic with Dave Fowkes and Susie Fowkes. We will take our first break today. All the songs today, by the way, are from the new PodSafe Music Network. We're trying something different. We've been going to the folks over at GarageBand.com, and they've got great musicians over there. But someone turned me on to the PodSafe Network. So we're going over to the PodSafe Network. We've got a bunch of new tunes today. And we come back and we'll be talking more stuff and nonsense. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic with Robin Goldstein, Susie Fowkes, and Dave Fowkes. And we are all cordially inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Trees.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 70 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual and bad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. The email address is robin@schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on MySpace. It's myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. Are you getting the pattern here, folks? We got a phone number for you, too, if you want to call and leave messages. It is area code 206-666-6540. And I'm very, very excited. I was talking to you guys before the show today. I'm sitting here today with Doug and Susie, good friends of mine from KSCO.
He's actually Dave. Dave.
I will answer to anything. In other lives, I actually do have multiple names, but today we'll go Dave.
Okay, I'm sitting here with Doug and Susie. I have my reality. We have to deal with it.
This is true.
Sitting here with Dave and Susie. Do people frequently call you Doug?
No.
Never. No. Never happened before.
Steve. Well, they called him Steve.
Did they call you Steve?
Well, when was the last time we were together? I think you called me Doug then.
Did I really? That. I don't know why. Did you ever go out with a guy named Doug?
No.
Holy shit.
I do know a man named Doug, though. We have him in common. Yeah.
Doug Sovereign was on the show a few weeks back.
Was he?
Yes, he was. He played a round of Win John DeCoven's Money with us.
Oh.
Did he?
And he won. Win John, yes, he won.
Of course
yes.
He did.
Has he played Jeopardy yet? Do we know if he's gone down
to
tape yet?
No, I haven't heard. I emailed him and haven't heard back. So.
I haven't heard back either. But anyhow, we were talking before the program, and you know, I mentioned on the air last week, I'm going to be 49 on Saturday. Which is fairly remarkable because first of all, I don't think I look 49.
Not at all.
I don't think so. I don't feel 49, and I certainly don't act 49. And I was down in Los Angeles a week ago. I mentioned it to the audience, and I was running around doing different things, and you know, spending time at TV studios and radio studios and photography things. And I remember my folks being my age, and they were acting like responsible adults, and I'm still acting like a kid.
Absolutely.
Maybe that'll change now that my mom is gone. I don't think so. And yet, even so, I realize that there's stuff going on in the youth culture, for lack of a better term. You know, people who are really in their 20s. Because we have Jason on every week, and Jason has philosophical and political opinions, which I think, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's wrong.
You need a boot in your ass. You know, like, I'm beginning to understand that 70s show and Red and, you know, how that whole thing worked. So I've got a very good friend of mine, Friggy, back on the East Coast. He and I have been practicing law together on and off for years and years and years. And he had a little tiny daughter that was born while I knew him. She is now a delightful woman who goes to Harvard. She's a junior at Harvard. I believe she writes for The Crimson. She does political cartoons as well. I had a chance to meet her this summer when I was back East, you know, as sort of an adult. And she was just incredible. And I thought, I need to basically pick your brain. I need to get into sort of really what's going on with people who are in their 20s and get a perspective that I don't have. Because as smart as I am, apparently I don't know everything.
Right.
Okay.
I will erase it. And the magazines that tell us about Jessica Simpson and Lindsay Lohan, they can't tell us anything either.
We're going to get to that later, by the way. I saw you brought a copy of The Star with you, and we definitely have to dish. So we've got a brand new segment called Realizations, and it's going to sound a little something like this.
This realization is preceded by an immovable faith. He who would, in his own person, test the fact of God's presence, can do so by a living faith.
I think Gandhi would have liked a little bit of Chemical Brothers. Might still be the premiere there if, you know. I support nonviolence, but house music is very fine. So on the line with us, if she is there and we've done everything correctly, we should have Eliza Aufrichtig, our new correspondent. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic, Son of Easta.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm here in my dorm room right now, hanging out on the phone.
All right. And can you hear us just fine?
Yeah, I can hear you very well.
All right. Outstanding. So did I give your bona fides correctly there? You're a junior at Harvard.
Yeah, the intro was good. Unfortunately, I don't know about life in the 20s yet. Still 19, but...
Okay.
Style pretty soon.
All right. Well, over the weeks that we have a chance to talk with you, I want to talk about a lot of things that are going on in a kind of in a different generation. But the thing that caught my eye immediately that I had mentioned to you in an email the other day is I had seen a bunch of articles about Facebook, and you had mentioned Facebook to me back when we were we had a chance to hang out, you know, with your dad and mom this summer, and. First of all, I realized I didn't understand a lot about Facebook, and then I was very surprised to see that it was in the news and they're threatening lawsuits. And so, first of all, I was wondering if you could kind of explain what's going on with Facebook, what it is to people who may not know anything about it, and then we can kind of talk about what's really happening in the conflict that we're hearing about.
Okay, sure. Well, for anyone who hasn't heard about it, Facebook is sort of a networking site, a lot like MySpace or Friendster. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yes, we all know about MySpace and Friendster.
Where they put information on a profile, and then they add friends who are supposedly real friends in real life, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes people seek out others on Facebook. You can put up pictures. You can write on people's walls. Wall is a Facebook concept. It's very popular at college. You know, you see a guy, you're like, oh, he's kind of cute. Let's look on the Facebook, see if he's single, or something like that. So it's very popular, especially... People have the phrase Facebook stalking. You can just sit there while you're trying to write a paper and just go from profile to profile. You end up looking at pictures of people you don't even know and don't even care about. And then, like me, sometimes you take yourself off Facebook for a month because you actually need to do homework. It can be very distracting.
Now, is Facebook sort of a replacement for something that actually used to be printed up?
No. Well, there used to be such a thing as a freshman Facebook where they would hand out pictures of the new freshman class, but it's a very different thing. I don't think anything like this existed before, maybe in Friendster, but it was essentially the same thing. It's relatively new. It started my freshman year, or I think like right before my freshman year.
Gotcha.
It's definitely a very sort of new concept. I think it's changed a lot of the ways you can get information about other people. It's mildly creepy.
I was just trying to picture, I mean, is this something that's like MySpace in terms of just a web page, or is it something that pops up like an instant message type of thing that can bother you all the time?
It's a web page. So you actually have to log in for it to sort of suck you away, but all you have to do is type in your password and then you're on. They actually, a lot of the news that I was getting recently was over this controversy over this new feature called the News Feed, where whenever you log in, you get information about every single friend of yours and what they had done on Facebook. So if they had changed their picture, or if they had added a new friend, or if they decided they were going to go to an event that was listed on the Facebook, it would pop up and
wow. People
thought this was violating their privacy.
Right. Yeah, that would be. Now, what is what makes Facebook different than MySpace or more appealing?
Essentially the same thing. I think some people think that Facebook is sort of more exclusive because you have to be in college. So I believe that's actually changing. I think that within the coming weeks or months, Facebook is going to be open to anyone who wants to join. And I think then it will be basically the same thing as MySpace. I know sometimes, or at least in my opinion, I don't have a MySpace, mainly just because I don't need something else to steal all my time away.
Right.
But MySpace is a little bit dirtier. I think MySpace has sort of a dirtier reputation because it has sort of the idea that you have these like 50-year-old men looking at profiles.
Oh, absolutely.
12-year-old girls.
Now, how does this kind of integrate into the way that you meet up with your friends? Because if you listen to people who complain about, you know, what we're doing is we're finding ways not to interact with each other. And so this is just another barrier between real, quote, real human interaction with each other. And yet it seems to me that that is based on a premise which may be false for people who are using these tools. Do you find that this increases, decreases, has any effect on the amount of time that you actually spend with real people that can lend you money?
I don't think people really or at least in my experience, use Facebook as a replacement for spending time with people. I think that maybe to that extent, I think instant message might be more like that, or email, where you can just easily email someone or instant message them. Like sometimes my roommates and I are sitting in the same room and we instant message each other, sort of ironically, but sometimes not. but I don't think Facebook has replaced it. I think the only way maybe that it has replaced any human contact is that you know information about people that you wouldn't ordinarily know, but it's sort of taboo to say that you know this information. So even if you can easily get someone's phone number off of the Facebook, you still have to go through the whole sort of process of asking for it. I don't know, there's a lot of sort of etiquette, I think, that goes along with the Facebook.
Well, that you raise an interesting point, because recently I know that there have been articles from recruiters who are trying to help people get their first or second job, and one of the things that they're mentioning is anything that you've kind of ever done on the internet is now available. And so you need to be careful about what you've said about yourself, because Google and the Wayback Machine and all of these sites, which basically archive internet pages, can go back and find things about yourself. And people have reported, whether it's true or not, how widespread it is or not, I don't know, but they've reported that they're not able to get jobs because people find out things about them, like maybe they smoked a little weed in college, or maybe they, you know, they have some photographs of them in a compromising position, you know, in college or when they were 49 or something like that, you know. And this is something that you guys, and I'm sort of asking you to speak for an entire generation, so I realize that and I don't care. So, I mean, is this something that you guys all think about? And I mean all of you.
No, this is definitely like a very real issue. I remember last year at some point we got an email from the Office of Career Services saying that job recruiters are in fact checking the Facebook if they have young workers who maybe still have an account on the Facebook. They have them looking at profiles. And if you're applying for jobs, make sure that your Facebook profile doesn't have any compromising information, that you're not linked to compromising pictures. I mean, everyone Googles themselves all the time. Like, make sure that when you Google yourself, creepy things don't pop up. It's definitely a very real issue. And with the Facebook, you can set it so that no one can view your profile. Only your friends could view it, so that's another option. But they definitely recommend being very careful about that.
I was going to say, it seems like, for MySpace and stuff, it seems posting things like your phone number or address seem kind of dangerous to me. I mean, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Is that something you put online, or, I mean, people doing that?
Well, I think for the Facebook, I have it set, actually, so only my friends can view my profile, so I do have my phone number on it. Cause sometimes it's useful, you know, if you do need to call someone to get homework or something like that, and you break the Facebook taboo of calling someone from that number, sometimes it is useful. But I don't have any sort of home address information or anything like that on it.
Do you feel that you're living on the web? Is that a fair way of characterizing it?
I try not to, because I feel like it keeps my soul away, but oftentimes I just spend hours in front of the computer. It feels pretty terrible, though. But you need email all the time, at least here at Harvard. Professors expect that you will be checking your email constantly. They'll be sending you information. If you're in clubs, you're expected to be checking your email constantly. So you're tied to email, and that sort of leads you to go onto other websites.
Now,
yeah, people are always up to computers.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're, you know, the three of us here are obviously a little bit older than you are. I like the fact that nobody could reach me when I was at college. I mean,
yeah.
it was a certain sanctuary, right?
That's why I went to college.
Yeah, no computers, no cell phone. Well, there were computers, but
okay.
Yeah,
library computers. Library computers. We didn't have personal computers back. I mean, nobody was required to have them.
Yeah, everyone has contact with everyone all the time. Your cell phone is always on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're never away from your computer. Sometimes I find myself stopping in the library on the way to class to check my email. It's kind of embarrassing.
Do you perceive, because I know that you're someone who, that writes for the paper and looks at kind of social trends, do you perceive that that will result in some kind of backlash?
I have no idea. I mean, I've sort of been trying to steer myself away from Facebook. I mean, it's really, really impossible to steer myself away from email here, especially when I'm at school.
Right.
I don't know. I think that when the Facebook came out with this thing a few weeks ago where all the information was up, everyone realized that this information anyone could actually get all the time, but it was there right in front of your face. And I think that made a lot of people reconsider their uses of Facebook and these other sort of listing of information about themselves.
Well, that's good. Now, okay, I'm sorry. I'm changing the subject a little bit here. You are a journalism student, right? Or you do just write for The Crimson?
Well, no. I study literature. English literature,
oh,
sort of
awesome.
Spanish and French literature. I write sometimes for the Crimson, but I have a weekly political cartoon, though. That's what I mainly do.
That's what you do? Oh, fantastic.
And how many have you done so far this semester?
I have one out today. If you go to thecrimson.com, I have a cartoon, but I've just done two so far this semester, and I'm not technically a cartoonist yet for the semester because I have to reapply, so hopefully I'll be a cartoonist again.
And what is today's cartoon about?
Today's cartoon is about, we have this bookstore called The Coop, which is, everyone sort of considers the evil bookstore in the town because they jack up all the prices, but it's much easier to buy books there than most people do. But they have this system where they'll shrink wrap books, and if you unwrap this like sort of plasticky wrapping, you can't return the book, so it makes it really difficult if you don't know if you're going to take a class or not. So that's the basis of my cartoon.
Wow. I remember. I'm still a member of the Coop.
You have the Coop at MIT, right?
Because the MIT and Harvard were, was a cooperative. And so I still have my Coop card, and I used to get a rebate.
That's funny.
I used to get my rebate, and it was horrible. And ultimately, I wound up going down to Harvard Square to buy as many used books as I could.
Yeah, actually, that is one way that the internet has gotten good, is there are a lot of sites that have sprung up selling cheap textbooks. But, I mean, personally, I just would rather get my books and not have to deal with all the internet hunting.
Right.
Right.
Fair enough. Yeah, and shipping and all that.
Exactly. Well, I think a final question, just sort of for the opening segment, and as I say, we'll check in with you on a regular basis and kind of, you know, touch base on things that seem to be relevant to the culture that I don't know anything about, because I'm old and I get cranky too easily. I'm old and cranky. But Jason Nathanson, I've mentioned this before, and people who are regular listeners to the show know this. I'm not telling any tales out of school. We've had some interesting conversations about politics because Jason has been involved in the news business and talking about politics. And I've frequently been surprised because I consider Jason to be a fairly liberal guy. I went to UC Santa Cruz, and so, you know, that is the bastion of, I mean, quite frankly, that's the home of communism here in California, is UC Santa Cruz.
And the lesbian capital of the world.
Lesbian capital of the world, yeah. But I don't think actually people don't really have a problem with that
as much
as they do with the communist part of it. Lesbians good, communists bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That was on O'Reilly tonight. You should have just check it. You'll find
it. Dang it, I missed O'Reilly.
Exactly. But one of the things that I've been surprised about is that Jason, I think, frequently is of the opinion that it's okay to give up certain amount of personal freedoms because from his perspective, we've kind of always been engaged in these terrorist kind of wars. And so the government, even if they're really incompetent, ultimately is responsible for protecting us. And so I see a kind of backsliding on some of the more fundamental constitutional issues. And I'm wondering, obviously, Harvard is also considered to be a bastion of liberalism. You know, frequently people think of Harvard as being the UC Santa Cruz of the East. Mm-hmm. So,
I didn't know that.
Excuse me?
Sure, they have better parties at UC Santa Cruz.
Well, there
might be a little more weed, but that's about it.
They probably have more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's obviously not a scientific poll, but do you find
strong amounts of liberalism versus conservatism among your friends, your peers, your colleagues, fellow students?
Well, I don't know. I guess I maybe have like a biased perspective. One of my roommates and best friends, she's very involved in the College Democrats, and so a lot of her friends and my friends are very, very strong liberals. And I don't really hang out with a lot of conservatives, but they do definitely exist. I think there are definitely way more liberals, crazy liberals here. But I think that a few conservatives really make a point of getting their voice out because they know that they're smaller in number, at least here. So there is the appearance that there's a pretty fair and balanced amount of political activism on both sides.
It was very similar in Santa Cruz, except for the fair and balanced part. There were not very
much
many.
Like on Fox News.
Yeah, there were not very many conservatives, but they were loud.
They were loud.
Yeah, yeah. But the same is true here.
See, and it's very different because I was in, because I am older. I think I'm older than you guys. I was
just a little bit.
Okay. Well, I was in
just
college. I was in college in the 70s.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was born in the 70s.
Okay, there you go. So if I haven't said so today, by the way, fuck you. And and I mean, at that point, there were still kind of riots against having ROTC on campus.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, it was not just a bias. I mean, it was, you were ashamed to stick your hand up and say that you had any kind of conservative, either political or social or, you know, point of view. And that doesn't seem to be the case any longer.
No, it's definitely not the case. Like, last semester during the spring, it caused a whole lot of ruckus. The Harvard Right to Life group made a poster campaign. It was like, called the Alina campaign, and they basically tracked the, like, quote-unquote life of a fetus during the whole gestation period. It's like, hi, my name's Alina, and I'm 2 days old. And so they followed it all the way through birth, and that obviously caused a lot of uproar on campus from all sides. But I mean, they weren't afraid of putting these posters up. Some people tore them down, but even very liberal people spoke against tearing the posters down because of free speech and all.
It's very much a Joni Mitchell, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Because
yeah.
I do remember the same reproductive rights issues back when I was in college, you know, before we had electric lights, you know, when we used to study by oil, you
right.
know, by
and there were Tyrannosaurus whale. Rexes
yes, exactly.
scratching at your door.
Yes,
right.
that's right. You had to study very quickly. And Bill Baird, right, who went to prison for reproductive rights on the East Coast in Boston. And so there were all of these protests in order to because there were bombings of abortion clinics at
right.
that point.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, people were, I don't know, now that we have the rights, there's a sense of, okay, well, we don't have to push so hard to protect them.
It's just interesting, the right to life only counts for babies and not for these doctors and nurses and
yeah.
people who work for the clinics. I mean, everybody has a right to life, but anyway, I'm not even going to start that right before the break.
Mr. Bartley's Burger Cottage? Mr. Bartley's Burger Cottage, is it still there?
Oh, Bartley's is fantastic. We all love Bartley's. It's like the most delicious, greasy burgers ever, anywhere.
It's one of the few things that I miss as a vegetarian is Bartley's burgers. Well, listen, Eliza.
That might tempt me back. They do have veggie burgers there, though, with all the same toppings.
Hey!
They didn't used to have veggie burgers.
See, things do change.
They used to kick
exactly. In-N-Out has veggie burgers now, too.
They used to laugh at you, and then they kick your ass. And as a vegetarian, I was too weak to defend myself. Eliza, thank you so very much. How do you feel okay? It went really well from our point of view.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
It's outstanding. We'll have you back again for sure. And
Eliza, remember, I believe Gary Trudeau got his start as a political cartoonist at college.
So you might be able to marry Jane Pauley as well.
No, wait.
All right. Take care. Have
thank
a great week.
Thank you.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
All right. Something I didn't know.
There is? What?
There's lots of stuff I don't know.
Well, now that you know it.
Now that I know it.
You're set.
Okay.
That was interesting.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in college today? Oh, no, I can't. And
whole
I never graduated, and I'm thinking about going back.
Are you?
It's just like, wow.
I want to talk about that. All right, and more stuff. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side. Schnauzer Logic, Susie Foulkes, Dave Foulkes. Some people know him as Doug. And Robin Goldstein.
Or Steve. Or Bruce.
Stick around.
around for more Schnauzer Logic.
That in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Presto!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 45 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. It is episode number 28, if you can believe it. 28 episodes, 28 weeks. We want to thank everyone out there for continuing to listen to the show, for giving us mad props over on the iTunes Music Store. We have, I think, 6 reviews at this point that are all 5-star reviews. I mean, that was just incredible. Also, I wanted to just send a very quick shout-out to our listener, Allison, who is in the East Coast, back in Connecticut. I made a comment a few weeks ago that if you go to the Schnauzer Logic webpage, www.schnauzerlogic.com, there are a bunch of buttons on the top of the page. One of them says MP3, and it brings down a little online player. And then one of them is help, so it answers a lot, most of the common questions. And then one of them is a donation button. And I had mentioned that no one had ever pushed that button. I don't know. It's like
they didn't even push it.
No, they didn't even push
not
it.
A single click.
Not the web button. Don't ever push the web button. So Allison is such a sweetheart that she heard me and she pushed the web button.
Nice.
And she donated $1.01.
Nice.
Which was very, very sweet. So thank you so very much. I sent the money back.
That's good.
We don't need your $1.01.
You really needed the click more than the $1.01.
I think so. I needed to be clicked. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. I needed to feel the click.
That's all it is.
There
push
you
the
go.
Button.
But it's thank you so button. Very much. Yeah, that was very, very sweet. So we thank you. And to everyone who's been giving us comments, and you go over to the iTunes Music Store and reviews are always welcome. So there you go. And we were talking in a break. You are obviously big sports king, according to your lovely wife, who stepped out of the room for a moment, but she will be back, I'm sure, on Little Cat's feet. And a football person. That's how I know you. I mean, of all the sports, that's your game.
That's right. Football is the one that, you know, in my youth, I used to love them all. But football is the one that's lasted into my elder years. And I'm a huge football fan. I just can't get enough. So.
And 49ers are your team, obviously.
49ers are my pro team, and it's been a painful couple of years.
So people don't know. So the 49ers have a fairly rich history, and yet they've been struggling the last few years. And you've sort of tried to take a hand at that. See if you can turn things around personally. Tell people about it. It's an interesting story.
We did something, shall we say, a little different.
Okay.
We were, for those who aren't big football fans, the 49ers have been a great team through the 80s and 90s, four Super Bowls during the 80s, very competitive during the 90s. And they had this little thing happen, I don't remember the year now, it's 97, 98, where the owner of the team got in a little bit of trouble, had to give up the team, and gave it to his sister, basically, who's married to a man named John York, who is now the managing owner of the 49ers.
All right.
And since he took over, the atmosphere around the 49ers have changed, and likewise, the quality of the team has slipped a little bit. So pretty much they've been the worst team in the NFL. Well, there's always the Raiders. But beyond the Raiders, the 49ers have been the worst team in the NFL the last 3 or 4 years. I go and I watch every Sunday, watch a bunch of the games with a bunch of friends, and we're sitting around, you know, we're just really frustrated, and it's like, you know, God, this is a horrible team. The players, they suck.
This was 2004.
It was 2004. All right. She's always good on dates. They all go together for me. This team really sucks. The players, useless. You know, we need new players. Then it started talking, it's like, the coaching, it's terrible. I mean, look at this coach, Dennis Erickson. You know, what has he done? He's terrible. Blah, blah. Well, it's not the coach's fault. I mean, the general manager is clueless. Look, he hired this coach. He's put these players out there. The general manager's terrible. And then it started going up to the owner. And then it was like, you know, it's the owner who kicked the legendary Bill Walsh out of the area.
Okay.
It's the owner that helped some of the elder players depart.
Right.
It's the owner who created an atmosphere that a lot of the new players didn't want to be around. So we sort of took the tack, well, you know, everyone has the, you know, fireyourcoach.com or the, you know, getridofyourgeneralmanager.com. We decided, you know, we could get rid of those people, but we're still going to have this lousy owner. So let's go after the owner. Let's get rid of him.
Aim for the top. Greatness starts at the top.
So we came up with a website that's called Dump York. John York is his name, just dumpyork.com. And, you know, we did it just, it started this, Sunday, the Niners were like, you know, 1-5 and, you know, terrible.
Right.
Beers were flowing. It was a good time. We were all cracking up.
And beers start flowing at 10 a.m., believe me.
There you go. We had the demo up by Monday, and we were actually online by Tuesday.
Wow.
And by the end of the week, we had had like 1,000 hits.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just stunning. And then, of course, the Niners helped out the next Sunday by losing like 49-0. And so with each loss, you know, people started finding this website to the point that we were starting to get actual national attention.
Really? Oh, I don't think I knew about that.
Yeah.
Oh, we were actually
we were on ESPN. They did a
Outside the Lines
by
December.
Yeah, they did their Outside the Lines show. They actually showed the webpage. We had all the, you know, local.
We were in the magazine. We were in Sports Illustrated. Mentioned in Sports Illustrated.
That's right. And the local televisions, you know, were all covering it. And we just made this. We hit this thing, and it was. It was just one of those things that we were the first to sort of go after an ownership group. So it was a little bit different.
Gotcha.
And it was also hitting the strings that, you know, we're used to greatness with the 49ers. Maybe they don't win the Super Bowl every year, but we're competitive.
Right.
And
if
you take a year off, you're back the next year. You're always
right.
fine.
Right.
And it hasn't been that way. So we're sort of finding the heartstrings, I guess, for all the fans that are out there that are agreeing. And by you know, by the end of the Super Bowl that year, I think we'd had, you know, nearly a million hits on this website.
Holy crap.
At least.
And we still get mentioned. You know, we're 2 years.
Oh, and it was international. It was so funny because when local news came down to our house, Dave's in my house, to do a little bit on us.
Right.
Dave was just going off and spouting all these numbers about the sports, blah blah blah, and he was amazing in all the things that he said. Sports knowledgeable, and the clip that they used in their little segment was me, stupid little me, saying, "Oh well, we've had people from as far as Maryland or Singapore talking." I mean, and it really was an international contingent of people that
were
just
the hotness.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you're the hotness.
I guess.
Fat and old or new hotness.
Right, right.
You're the new hotness.
He has the man boobs, and I have the real boobs. You know, there's that.
Wait a second, that deserves one of these. All right. So that was last year.
That was two years ago.
Okay, so York is gone.
No, wait a second.
York's still around.
Now, did you guys ever hear from him personally, or his representatives, or his lawyers? Or
we've never heard from. Fortunately, we haven't heard from his lawyers.
Okay,
we've never heard directly from the Yorks, but they're certainly aware of us.
Oh, and they know about us.
And a lot of the changes actually that have gone on in 49er land, we really felt that we've played a role.
For example,
at the end of that year, the general manager and the coach did get fired. And we all bet there's no way that would happen because there was a lot of money wrapped up in in firing.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of the things.
Yeah, the general manager is, you know, he's going to be wealthy for the rest of his life because he was at the early end of his contract.
Yeah, he had just had a contract renewal for 4 years or something like that.
Gotcha.
So there are things that have happened that you certainly know that they're aware of us. There have also been little things. For example, one of our people, we sell t-shirts now, and one of the people took a t-shirt to the game and got kicked out of the game because he had a t-shirt that said Dump York on it. He was asked turn it inside out, put something over it, but you're not allowed to wear that shirt facing out.
Wow.
Yeah. So much for the First Amendment, huh?
So when stuff like that happens, it kind of turns into a little news story, and the 49er supervisors quickly come in and say, "Oh no, that was a mistake. That was So, you know, they know that you know the fans are out there and upset, and that's good. You know, obviously, and the first thing I get, you can't fire your owner. You know, he owns the team, and that's right. But you know what? You can needle, you can jab.
That's right.
You can have a good time. You can let him know that people care about what he's doing. And that's what we're doing. We're having a good time.
And you can really encourage him to sell the team. Sell the team to somebody who actually cares and will spend the money. I mean, this is a man who has forced his players to buy stamps to answer fan mail.
Gotcha.
They can't do anything on his dime.
So where are we in this season? This is all American football because we have listeners all over the world, obviously.
Right.
This is a very different
kind.
So it's all American NFL, American football. The season's already started?
Season has started.
Which is so weird because we're still playing baseball. It's always hard for me to imagine the two of them overlap, but okay, fine. Yeah. So where are we now?
That's where we differ because for you, the baseball season goes on, and for me, the baseball season ends about mid-August when I get pumped up for the season, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, the playoffs are coming up. We're 2 weeks into the season.
Okay.
Niners
and how many weeks are there in a football season? Because it keeps getting longer, and then they have, like, quarterfinals and eighth finals.
There's 16 games in 17 weeks.
Okay.
And that's the regular season.
So if somebody gets a week off,
everybody gets 1 week yes. off during
is
the
that
season.
What, is that called a bye?
Week. Yeah.
That's a bye.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
So there's 16 games over the course of 7 weeks. And how many teams
over
are there?
17, actually.
I'm sorry, 117?
No, 16 games over 17 weeks.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And right. how many teams are there?
32.
So does every team, I'm shitting math, I should just ask a question I want to know. Does every team get to play every other team or not necessarily?
No. No.
Oh,
you
okay.
play, there are four divisions, there are two conferences.
Okay.
Four divisions in each conference.
Okay.
Each division plays, each team in a division plays the other teams in the division twice.
Okay.
And then each team plays one other division in your conference and one division out of the conference. And then there are sort of two wild card games, if you will.
So the division and conference you're in can actually have an impact on where you wind up at the end of the season. It's
Very
not like baseball
so.
Yes. where everybody, effectively, nationally, everybody nationally gets to play everybody at least during one go-around.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's only 16 games, and they really right. focus on your division rival. So, yeah, you don't play
baseball is 162
most, but...
games.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing football players are kind of like pussies.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
There is that possibility.
Oh, that's shit.
Hey, I'd love to see him play a lot more. Year-round works for me. So
they're into the second week of yeah. the season. They just and how are the 49ers doing?
49ers are improved. They actually have been surprising. They're 1-1, one win, one loss.
Okay.
They've been competitive in both games, which is new. They haven't done that in a couple years.
All right.
So yeah, there's some hope they could be okay this year.
Do they change the rules for pro football every year? I mean, are there sort of things that, like, they change basketball every now and then. They change baseball. Obviously, the designated hitter was a big difference kind of
well,
thing.
Well, sure, yeah.
Right? Do they change rules in football?
They have small changes every year.
All right.
You know, maybe how a penalty is enforced.
Gotcha.
They don't make they make major changes kind of like baseball once every, you know, 15, 20
All
years
right.
type of thing.
I mean, when did the instant replay come into...
Oh, that's yeah, quite a while ago
I,
now.
I guess, yeah, that's something that that's
right.
something that does change
really
every couple
sure.
of years,
yeah.
actually.
Sure.
Yeah, that changes a little bit. But
and what do you think the attraction of football is? Because I listen to local sports talk radio, KNBR, which is the big sports talk station out here, and people who call... sports talk to talk about baseball fans sound different than football fans. There's a very different way that they talk about it. Baseball fans, there's something very different about it. I don't know. There's sort of more pride in the team as kind of being there.
I hate to say this because I really do prefer football over baseball, but I honestly truly believe that the baseball fan tends to be a smarter, more intelligent person than the football fan.
Okay.
Just in a generalization
okay.
sort of way.
See Dave
you
nodding his yeah, head here?
You don't mind if my wife stays here a few extra days, do you?
I have a perfectly fine futon couch and welcome to camp out. Not a problem.
Well, then there are the smart ones, and I married one of the smart football fans.
The reality is what makes football world go around is gambling.
I hadn't thought about
it's,
that.
It's very simple. I mean, that's the real broad appeal. There are two items. There's television and there's gambling. The gambling, there's the straight up, you know, I bet on this team, you bet on this team. But then there's also fantasy now. Fantasy football has become a huge deal.
Really?
And fantasy football is where you have your own team. And maybe
mm-hmm.
one player is with the 49ers, one's with the Cowboys, one's with the Eagles. And you add up all their stats at the end of the day, and your team wins or loses. And, you know, some people do it for money, some people do it for pride.
Okay.
But between fantasy football and gambling, the money behind it is huge.
Wow.
The other thing about it is it's not the commitment. Baseball is, as you said, 162 games.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's every day.
Right.
Football is
every
once
day.
A week.
Okay.
It is once a week. You can gear up all week long. It's
although
all
they're
right,
playing
let's
now
have
on
this
Saturday.
Time.
They're playing now on Sunday nights, and are they still playing on Monday, or is that not the
yeah,
case
they
anymore?
They still do Monday.
So
they're branching out a little bit.
Right.
So there will be some Thursday night games, but for the most
right.
part,
Monday
okay.
night now is on ESPN, and, yeah. and
okay.
Sunday night is on NBC. Right?
So are you into a fantasy football?
I am.
So I could start a website called dumpfalks.com where we could try to get you to give up your.
You could. This is hey. This era. You can start any web page you want, for the most part.
And are you doing? You're doing a podcast.
I'll take back my maiden name for that one.
There you go. Are you doing a podcast?
Yeah, we do a podcast on Dump York. Right now, it's me and one of my co-creators, and we just chat a little bit. For the most part, it's just about the game yesterday and the game coming up tomorrow and all that. But every once in a while, when the Yorks do something silly, we are there to jump on them.
All right.
Let the world know. So,
www.dumpyork.com. Now, were you a football person before you met Dave, or is this just sort of
God,
a way of
no.
being to... Okay.
No, no. When I met him, you know, football, I grew up with a dad and a brother. Mm-hmm. And they loved baseball and football, and I kind of watched it all. I was born and raised loving the Raiders, the Niners, the A's, and the Giants. So,
gotcha.
But then I met Dave, and he is much more into football than baseball. Mm-hmm. And I decided if I were to be with this man for the rest of my life, I would either have to learn to love football or become a football widow.
All right.
And I chose the former. So,
and that's working out.
And it's working out really well.
Because you seem to genuinely like it. Or
I really do like it.
Okay.
I really do like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it the tight pants?
No, a lot of them are real fatties, especially the defensive linemen. God, fat, fat, fat. But yeah,
but a lot of the things that Susie loves is why football is also goes to so many people is that it's a big party. It's one Sunday.
Yes,
everyone gets
yes,
together.
Exactly,
the,
we all
the
get
barbecue,
together. It's a social event.
It's a real event.
It's
and
a
that,
social event.
So you guys
and
basically tailgate.
Things. Yeah, we tailgate at a friend's house.
At a friend's
Absolutely.
House, right? Every
mm-hmm.
Sunday.
Every
you said you started
Sunday.
Around 10 o'clock.
We started 10 o'clock when kickoff starts.
In fact, you could
starts.
Hear the ice cubes mm-hmm. kinkling in your trailer. It sounds to me like you've actually already started on Wednesday of this week. Is that for Thursday night's game, or are you just getting a little extra start
I'm
there?
I'm just getting a little
hey,
early
all right.
start.
It's medicinal.
It's training. The players
yeah,
practice,
medicinal.
So do the fans.
It's medicinal.
It's my pleasure. This is not the FCC. We have shared some fine single malt on the air, and I think it makes it a much better show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. www.dumpyork.com. They can read the blog. They can listen to the podcast.
That's right. They can participate. They can have a good old time.
And have a good old time. All right. And then can they see
Don't forget the message board.
Can they see your fantasy football stats somewhere? Is that
no,
all? That's
no,
just,
that's,
yeah.
all,
that's just for
that's
you.
That's all private
that's
stuff.
That's personal.
So, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Shh, don't tell.
All right. No one's listening. Don't worry.
Should I trade Sean Alexander? Huh?
I don't know.
Trade Sean Alexander to me.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Jason Nathanson.
Yay!
You guys know Jason?
Absolutely.
KSEO. All right. Well, we're playing music today. All the music today is from the PodSafe Network, the PodSafe Music Network. And it's all pretty good tunes. And so we'll play another soon. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein is my name. Talking into a microphone is my game. Susie Fowkes, shaking her cubes.
Woohoo!
Dave Fowkes, I'll ask you to please stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I've been told I can't win, so there it is.
the story. Oh, she liked to tell the glorious, glorious tales.
I'm such a cutie pie, and I really love your band, but I have a boyfriend.
No!
Welcome back. We're about 10 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein. I am a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, Pat, attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. And of course, the phone number, area code 206-666-6540. You can give us your comments. We'll play them on the air. You can ask questions for our segment, Ask Parviz. We're still trying that. I haven't given up on it yet. We haven't actually attained the Parvizian goodness that I was hoping for. And as you know, Parviz is not here this week, and he won't be here next week. But we're still looking for phone calls and questions. And I've actually put little ads on Craigslist in around the United States, inviting people to leave questions for Parviz, but apparently the word's out because haven't heard from him yet. Anyhow, I'm sitting here with Dave Fowkes, son of Easta Dave.
Son of Easta.
And Susie Fowkes, son of Easta Susie.
Son of Easta.
And on the phone with us, as always, is our good friend, the man who drove cross-country with... basically trailing Oprah, as far as I can tell. You know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, I faded it up too fast. Hold on. I have to listen to his theme song. Quiet.
Well, he sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. Sticky-fingered Filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van?
It's like you've never heard this before. Glad to see that you guys are big fans of the show.
Absolutely.
Senavista, Jason Nathanson, welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Senavista, Robin.
How are you, my friend?
You know, it's a shame. I actually have a question for Parviz this week.
Oh, you do?
And he's not there.
Well, Dave Fowkes and Susie are here. Maybe you can ask them the question.
I didn't really have a question.
Hey, Jason.
What's up, Jason?
How's it going, guys? Nice
Great.
To see you.
It's been a long time.
It has been.
I still have a lovely picture of you in Rosemary's floor-length fur coat.
Oh, well, let's burn that, shall we?
Now, last week, we're going to talk about something else today, but last week, you were involved in the middle of this whole Phil Angelides, Arnold Schwarzenegger news story thing. Dave didn't even know about it, to fill people in, and you were on the front page of the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle. You made the radio stations. You made the AP wire service. What's going on with all that?
Absolutely nothing. Like any news cycle in this country, you're on for 15 minutes and then, you know, they eat you up and spit you out. That's the end of it. There's been nothing. No fallout. Nobody's contacted me. I had my day of interviews last Thursday. And since then, the story has pretty much died.
Good times.
It was kind of a non-issue, I thought. You know, I heard the sound bites and I was like, so he thinks Mexican black women are hot.
Yeah. It was a media-driven story, and then by the time I got involved, it became more of like a media-on-media type story, and
right.
The public's just not really that interested.
Well, that's what you're known for, right? I mean, you are pretty much the, you know, horror-on-horror action.
Yeah.
I'm into media-on-media action.
It's too bad you can't see Susie doing that thing with her arms.
Oh, I can picture it. I can picture it.
Well, hold on, we're going to all picture it for just a moment. There you go. All right, that's great. So you used that. You managed to bootstrap that into a high-paying job over at KABC, yes?
Yeah. Sure.
Is that right?
No. I mean,
no.
It was kind of weird being on the other side of a story because, you know, being in talk radio, you go after stories like that and you try to get the people on who are part of the story. So to actually be the person who's part of the story, it wasn't comfortable for me. I didn't like getting called by different media outlets, and by the end, the last interview I did, I was even questioning whether or not to do the interview, because I didn't want to feed into the story too much.
Why didn't you pass him over to me?
Seriously?
That would have been a good idea. I should have referred him to my lawyer, Robin.
How many interviews did you end up doing in 24 hours?
I did Robin and KSCO, which were normally done. one with Fox News Radio and one with the Sacramento Bee.
Okay.
All right. That's not bad.
Thank God you did Fox News. Thank God.
Yeah. They got the story right.
And then it was picked
it's
up.
It's all fair and balanced there.
How many print reporters did you talk to?
Just the one from the Sac Bee. I mean, they did the AP story, which ran in, you know, tons of papers across the country.
Sure.
And the LA Times did a story, too, but none of those reporters actually talked to me.
No need.
Yeah. They heard a tape, so they know what
the
whole story
is. Yeah, they don't need the source.
So now what you're saying is you've got lots of free time, and you're spending a lot of that time sort of checking in on what's happening in the popular culture that sort of runs around the clock on the television. Is that right?
Well, yeah, or is it otherwise known, watching a lot of TV.
And we have a new theme song for that segment as well, so here
funny.
We go. Yeah, here we go, my friend.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on.
There we go.
Pretty much that describes the whole thing.
It's our new segment with our roving television reporter, Jason Nathanson.
So this song was written before the days of DirecTV when you now have 500 channels of
nothing on. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
Right, this obviously
we have to do an update to this song.
Right.
Springsteen. Gotta dig it. So you're living in your parents' basement in a bathrobe watching television.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. When are you going to get your own cable access show a la Wayne and Garth?
Oh, that's next. That's coming.
Okay.
You got to get a little more pathetic before that.
Excellent.
I'm not quite at that level of pathetic.
So are you kind of like your generation's Rodney?
Yeah.
All right, so you're sitting around, you're watching a lot of TV, daytime TV, nighttime TV. Where do you spend most of your time?
I did watch a little daytime TV this week because the Oprah Winfrey, it was the Oprah Winfrey premiere this week.
Yes.
She's finally back, and I know everybody's very excited about that. And the first show started with Oprah and Gail's big road trip adventure.
Yes.
Which, as Schnauzer Logic devotees are aware, I was a part of. Back in, when was that? Like June, I think.
Yes.
You
guys didn't know this?
What was that?
Oh, Susie's looking at me. Susie, big fan of Schnauzer Logic. Big fan. big fan of Schnauzer Logic. Every time we have fucking game night, they go, oh, I love your show. I love your show. But apparently, like, there's like, Son of East, I've never heard that before. Why do you say that? What does this mean? Your words are strange to me. Okay, Jason, when he was doing his cross-country trip, for people who may not have listened to earlier segments of the show.
Well, I do know about the cross-country trip, yes.
Doing his cross-country trip, he ran into Oprah. Someplace in Arizona.
Winslow, Arizona,
right?
Did you run right into her? I mean, did you hurt her at all?
Yeah, she has whiplash.
Okay.
She's suing me.
Yes, emotionally
like
scarred. He emotionally scarred Oprah.
Like, she doesn't have enough money.
Exactly. And then after running into Oprah, he realized, I guess you called your mom? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I called my mom. I was in a market, and I called my mom.
And said, I ran into
Oprah.
God,
yeah. Oprah!
Yes. This is the only one that I would figure would care.
Yes,
that's my friends.
That's what
care.
He sounded like, as a matter of fact. Actually, a little higher, but that's about right.
Oprah!
Yeah, and his mom said, oh, did you get a picture? And Jason said,
no.
Right.
Was I supposed to?
Jason got back in his car, and he followed Oprah.
And he
Oprah.
Ran her over again.
He followed Oprah. He followed Oprah for 10 miles, then he stalked her. For another 190 miles. How far did you fall? It was almost
It was about 120 miles in total.
120 miles in total. He stalked Oprah.
Brilliant.
Tracked her down. He managed to get off a clean kill shot with a tranquilizer dart. I think that...
that's exactly what it sounded like.
Wait, that's the elephant seals are starting to come in here.
It's actually Oprah and Gail that he got both of them with one shot. It's the magic tranquilizer dot theory. Back and to the left. Back and to the left. And if you go to randomshow.blogspot.com, you can find the photograph of
I have been to randomshow.blogspot.com.
There you go.
But
so did you, I watched the segment of Oprah. It was on Monday afternoon. It was on Monday.
And I knew about it, and people had called me, hey, it's going to be on. And I was all ready, you know, sit down with my popcorn and watch the little daytime Oprah. And then totally forgot about it.
Well, I haven't. I T-voted for you, and I'm going to put it in the mail. And by the way, you should know that the second part is next week. She only did the first part this week.
I saw that. It's going to be on Tuesday.
Yes, next Tuesday is going to be the second part. But here's what I can tell you, because I did sit down today to watch the entire first episode very quickly to see whether you were mentioned.
Now, that's friendship. That's
and here's
dedication.
What I can tell you, okay? Oprah is a bitch. Oprah is a huge fucking bitch. I mean, she is so wealthy, she doesn't even feel the need to hide it anymore. What an annoying, annoying bitch. And what I can't understand is, why is she so successful? Why do all these white women stand up? They look like they would have her baby.
Black it. Women too.
Explain this to me.
I have no idea.
Come on, you're a woman. You have that chromosome thing.
Guess what, though? I've never watched a minute of Oprah in my life.
Jason, what is it? You met her? Is it the sex appeal?
I did. I met her, and she was the nicest person. And, you know, the fact that she does have $1 billion never came into play. She sat and talked to me for 15 minutes. And you would think, well, why would this person even care? But she genuinely... And it's not like she talked the whole time. She was interested in my story. That's a sign of a good interviewer, somebody who sits and, you know, lets you talk. So I don't know if that's real or she just fell into Oprah interview mode. But she was really,
that a
really
dig
nice.
At me, by the way?
Shut up, you're interrupting.
Sorry.
But then I've been watching the past couple of days because I wasn't sure when part two was going to be on. And I got to say, I mean, while it's not my favorite show in the world, I could see today, especially on today's show, why so many people like her. Because she did the show about helping Hurricane Katrina victims, and they built houses. They built like 100 houses in Louisiana and in Houston. And Matthew McConaughey was there, and Eva Longoria, and John Bon Jovi, and they'd all donated a bunch of money and built all these houses. And it was really nice, because it was really nice to see this person who has a lot of money donating her money and her time to get this done. And, you know, that kind of changed my opinion of her a little bit to see how philanthropic she was.
She is very philanthropic. I personally, as a woman, would go see her show if I were ever in Chicago, mainly just to see what I would get. I mean,
yeah, you want to win a car.
Seriously.
You get a car.
I want the swag. I totally want the Oprah swag. And or swag, as they say. I either want the car or I want, well, I don't want what's his name's book, A Million Little Pieces, because
James Fry.
Yeah, I don't want that. But, you know, maybe I'll get some other expensive stuff that I would never, ever be able to afford otherwise.
Well, why do you say, Robin, after watching that show, that you think she's a mega bitch?
She gives off that vibe. And it isn't the fact that she's wealthy, because I'm okay with her being wealthy and powerful. But there's a sense of she's smug. I think through all of the philanthropy comes a kind of a smugness about the whole thing. And I just don't know where that comes from. I'm fascinated by celebrity and why in the society we choose certain people and make them famous.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton. I mean, it's not like Oprah can hum the Star Spangled Banner backwards, you know, while doing hands. I mean, she doesn't have any real talent as far as I can tell. Do you think that,
she's a TV personality, and she's pretty good at being a TV personality, and that takes some kind of talent.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not everybody can do it. How many failed talk shows have there been? You know, did Tony Danza light the world on fire?
Well, that's a good, you know, that's a good point. I was over at
Phil Donahue may have.
I was at KNTV, which is the NBC affiliate, on Monday of this week. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who is the producer of the morning news programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to her about getting together. We hadn't seen each other for a while. She went to the radio school with me. And so she said, well, why don't you come in and sit in for the 10 o'clock morning news? You know, Bay Area Today, blah, 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 with the husband and wife. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah. I want to do that.
Oh, you do?
Totally.
Well, I'll get Pandy, and Pandy will get you over there.
Oh, my God.
And that was Jason. So
only dogs can hear the show now.
Hence Schnauzer logic. Hold on. I never have the rim shot when I need it. Thank you very much.
That's timing.
All right. Oh,
we were hoping you would bring a dog.
And we did. Okay. Anyhow.
Now we just need the barking dogs.
But listen, I certainly appreciate that there's something about being on TV, because having been there, now I want to do television. I mean, I just think that I would be perfect on television. But my point of this whole thing was not to talk about me, although, damn, we just slide into that every time. The point was, while we were doing that, the woman...
This is Robin.
Yes,
this is the universe.
Her name is Garcia something. Is it Gail Garcia? Karen Garcia? Schwarzenbaum? She's married to the other guy that she hosts with.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know their names.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the blog. No, we won't. And and she interviewed Megan Mullally, who has this new talk show.
A new talk show.
Right, so she interviewed Megan Mullally, and I was actually standing in the control room next to the director and the assistant director as they were running this thing, and I didn't want to disturb them, but I couldn't control myself, and I thought, okay, I give that 6 weeks. I mean, she sucks at this. You can already tell that she sucks at this. She doesn't have half the energy that we have in this room when we're doing
seriously.
A podcast, right? There was nothing going on there.
I watched a little bit of her show, too, as well.
And Megan Mullally's,
It sucked. I mean, she gets on there and she told a really annoying story, and in her, you know, really annoying voice, and she doesn't
Which
sound like that.
Which is not even, not even halfway close to a Karen annoying.
Right, but,
but
I mean,
still
her
annoying.
Natural voice is still pretty annoying. And she wasn't a good storyteller. And, you know, you kind of appreciate people who are good at that by watching the people who are bad.
Right. And you know who the geniuses are? The genius talk show hosts are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and there you go.
And Oprah.
And Oprah.
These women, I mean, I watch them stand up. So for the show that she did on Monday.
I guess Oprah is really good at what she does because of her success. But I can't say that I want to watch her show ever.
Here's the thing. The women in the audience on Monday, they stood up and they applauded and they had like tears rolling down their eyes like they were near the Pope. And then I realized they basically were an audience for a fucking clip show. Because she didn't go driving around on stage with Gail, right?
Right.
I mean, they were showing videotapes. I mean, talk about a rip.
Oh, so, yeah. No,
well,
these people, they cry when they see her.
The important question here is, was I on it?
No. No.
in that case, the show sucked.
They spent 40 minutes. They spent 40 minutes with Oprah packing up her makeup and trying to get the hell out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And then her first stop was Las Vegas. And you know, she doesn't stay where you stay, right? She stays at the top of some, you know, She stays at the Wynn in the suite, and she's greeted by Wynn. Right, and
she stays there with Gail, but what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Except if you go on her blog for the trip, she makes a big point of noting that she didn't go in the celebrity entrance. She wanted to do this like everybody else does.
Oh,
so she went in and checked in like all the rest of us do.
With
cameras. Did she stand in line and stuff? Oh my God.
Yeah, there's Loper by the nickel slots.
I don't remember. I've been to Vegas a few times. I don't remember cameras ever going in the front door with me.
No.
It's nice to think about, but
yes. No. Yes, maybe when they came out with the overcoat over your head. But
I wasn't going to mention that. No.
So what have you seen so far that you've liked in this new fall season?
What about soap operas?
I don't watch soap operas.
No, just daytime talk.
Please, just daytime talk. All right. Survivor was actually something I was very interested in seeing. It's a show that I've been a fan of for a while, and this season, in case people aren't aware, they broke the tribes up into teams of racial
groups. Totally racist.
Yeah, so there's a black group, there's an Asian group, there's a Hispanic group, and there's a white group.
I actually don't think that's racist. I think it's funny.
Well, Jeff Probst called it in his opening an interesting social experiment.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a little bullshit to that. But,
absolutely.
I mean, it was interesting to see, you know, how this was going to happen. And, of course, the black team goes out there, and they all, when they sit down together for the first time, they're all like, we got to represent. We got to represent for our race. We got to represent for our people. And the Asian group, there was a little bit of that, too. And same with the Hispanic group. But the white group couldn't care less. They're interested in getting out there and seeing who they're going to bang.
Is that true?
What tattoos do you have? Where are your tattoos? What piercings do you have? What do you watch on television? Blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, in the challenges come, and that's when you kind of see, okay, are these stereotypes going to play out or are they not going to play out? Who's going to win? Of course, the black group finishes last. The Asian group finishes first because there's a puzzle involved. The Hispanic group finishes second because there's something involving a boat and swimming involved. And the white group finishes third. And so...
How did the black group finish not over the white folk? Because... I don't get that.
Would it involve playing hockey? I mean,
well, the problem is,
allegedly,
you think that there might be somebody in Arkansas, and this just reinforces their stereotype that, you know, black people suck at everything. And so you're wondering, you know, is this going to reinforce people's stereotypes or not?
What was the show that we just saw where it was like a big thing about black folks can't swim? And it's like, what do you mean? What the heck?
Well, they made fun of it on Mad TV.
That may have been what I saw it on.
Yeah, Mad TV made fun of this whole thing, and they did a nice job of that.
Black people can't swim.
But obviously, this can't maintain throughout the whole show. I mean, this is a promotional stunt, right?
Yeah.
Because eventually the teams have
to
get together.
I mean, there are only four people per team.
The blacks and the whites have to mix at some point, right?
Right, and then the white people are going to enslave the black team.
Right, to make Vietnamese, right? That's how it works, I think. Isn't that right? No?
That's what I think, yeah.
Okay. I think that's how it works.
And then there's the team from the Middle East and the white team that they sell.
Exactly. And everybody hates the Jews.
And and don't forget the Muslims. They're going to come in and bomb everyone. So, anyway...
So, you know, I remember watching Survivor during its first season. How many seasons are they into it now?
I think this is the 42nd.
No, but seriously.
Like a bazillion.
15 or 13 or 14.
It's been a long time.
Is it more than 10?
Yes, it's more than 10.
Yeah. Because they do two per year, right?
The second season started in 2000 when I
was
still...
Yeah, and sometimes they do 2 years.
Yeah,
so
I was still at KCBS when the second season started. So.
Is it still relevant if they have to do this kind of stunt casting and...
It's not... I mean, that's why it's becoming irrelevant and they have to do major things. Like, that's why
I mean, but it brings into the question of what's relevant and what's irrelevant. I mean, should a show about people on an island ever be relevant, or should it just be entertaining to watch? And I think
it should
just be entertaining to watch. And, you know, I think they got to put twists in there.
Well, that's why Gilligan's Island won. You know, I mean, Gilligan's Island was a great show because it was entertaining to watch. I don't know.
And because there are no black people on it. I mean,
that's definitely the other reason. No.
Didn't they do a Gilligan's Island reality show recently, too?
Oh,
they did on
there?
TBS.
They did.
Yeah,
something
did work very well.
They did two seasons of that, and I watched them both.
Really? They did two seasons?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, Jason.
But you were there for every
season.
Well,
you put TiVo in my hands, and then, you know, bad things happen.
And what about some of the shows? Because, I mean, that show got a lot of press, obviously, but there are some new dramas that have been fairly eagerly anticipated, right?
Right. One of the most typed ones was Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Which is the return of
Aaron Sorkin.
Okay.
And Aaron Sorkin, you know, is one of the only household writer names in TV these days. He was, you know, of course, on the West Wing for, I think, 4 seasons before they finally kicked him off.
Right, yeah.
And the show, in my opinion, went insufferably downhill after that.
And he did Sports Night before that, right?
Mm-hmm. Sports Night, which is very, very underrated. Not a lot of people saw, but it was a brilliant show.
Genius, yeah.
And it was on a rerun somewhere. I don't think it's on anymore. So that was on Monday night. That was the one I was waiting for the most.
What'd you think?
Tell people
what it's about, because I'm not sure everybody knows about this program. It's called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, and it's about a fake Saturday Night Live, which actually airs on Friday nights, and the behind the scenes of what goes on in that cast and with the writers and things like that. And on the first show, Judd Hirsch, who played the, I don't know, executive, the creator of the show.
Yeah. And Lorne Michaels?
Yeah, exactly. He played the Lorne Michaels character. And they cut a sketch, and he got really upset, and he goes on during the live broadcast and just, you know, starts to tear down the whole television industry live for 53 seconds before they cut him.
Kind of does a Peter Finch from Network kind of meltdown, right?
Exactly. And in the show, they make, you know, 9 million references to that's what he was doing. And the thing about Aaron Sorkin is he's a little preachy. And that worked really well on The West Wing because that was a politics show. And, you know, it's okay to be preachy about ideals there. So when he was being preachy in his writing on this show, it rang a little hollow because it's a show about TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who cares about TV, really, as far as, you know, the social construct of our society. But it's very well done. It's very well written in true Aaron Sorkin style. Everything's fast-paced. There's a lot of little jokes. And the characters immediately bond together. And there's something about his writing that actors really respond to. And you can tell instantly who's going to be a good actor and who's not going to be a good actor. And Bradley Whitford, who was on The West Wing, and Matthew Perry from Friends, who was also on The West Wing for a little bit, they're the two kind of main guys on the thing. And they worked really well together. You could tell, you know, they had an instant chemistry. Amanda Peet, on the other hand, who is also on the show, she was in a couple movies, The Whole Nine Yards, nothing really big. Mm-hmm. She didn't respond too well to the dialogue. She seemed a little out of place. She's cute, and, you know, she seems to be sweet and stuff, but I don't know. She didn't shine. And Sorkin's writing is done in such a way that actors really, really shine if they respond well to it, and she didn't really pop for me.
Gotcha.
I think she's also overshadowed a little bit by Matthew Perry and Bradley Whitford because,
right.
I you know, you, like you said, you could tell those two will be the stars, that they get it, and they're going to be a good team in that show the way it's written. And the fast-paced writing is, I mean, no one else does it.
I mean, it is an ensemble show, right?
So, right.
I mean,
that's what Sorkin does, and he's brought a lot of characters back that he's worked with for a long time.
Timothy Busfield is in it.
And he's great. Yep. I mean, just the one little bit we got to see with him was good. The other actor,
D.L. Hughley, is in it.
D.L. Hughley was in it.
Nate Corddry, Rob Corddry's brother.
Is that Rob Corddry's brother?
Yeah, his little brother, Nate Corddry's in it. Yeah.
He did do a little bit on The Daily Show with Rob for a little bit.
You know, you mentioned something about Sorkin being kind of preachy, and I liked it because you have to think a little bit in order to be able to wrap your head around what's going on. But here's what I thought was very interesting, and it's sort of a commentary about what you said earlier, which is with respect to shows like Survival, what are you really looking for? When Judd Hirsch is sort of standing there and doing his whole, you know, this is crap and the show hasn't been good for 5 years and blah, 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 it's hard for me to imagine anyone in corporate America today, in any industry, whether it's broadcast, entertainment, manufacturing, high technology, anyone having the balls, the courage, the personal convictions to actually put their career on the line. Can anyone name the last time that someone that they knew stood up for something that they believed in?
No.
Yeah, in the movie Network.
But I mean, other than in movies.
Yeah, no.
No.
So why do you think that is? So we're television representing the reality that we hope to be true, or is he preachy and like he'd like to see this happen? Which way do you think it's going?
Well, I with this show, it's kind of weird. You know, it's a show within a show, and you have to give NBC a little bit of credit because a lot of the stuff they were talking and preaching about TV sucking, NBC has been a part of. So you have to give them some credit for putting the show on in the first place. Also, with letting Aaron Sorkin come back with all the problems that they had with him doing the West Wing, and they essentially fired him in the first place.
True.
So it's good to, I mean, in a way, they're standing up a little bit for quality, and you got to give them a little bit of credit. But, you know, also, they know that Aaron Sorkin brings with him a whole huge audience, and it's going to be a critical darling, so they're doing it for the money, too. So their motives aren't PR.
Oh, it's absolutely PR. I mean, you wouldn't, if a network didn't believe in the writer, they wouldn't put created by Aaron Sorkin at the beginning of the show.
Sure, absolutely.
Now what's interesting, people probably know this, is that this is not the only show that's on that is a kind of behind-the-scenes look at Saturday Night Live, right? There's a second show that's going to be...
There's another show that's coming up.
Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin.
But that's not debuting until October.
And that's sort of a comedic look of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what I think was really interesting is Tina Fey was the head writer for Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. She would apparently rather do a fictionalized version. What's that? So what do you know about this? What's the buzz? What have you heard?
Well, I think that says that, you know, Saturday Night Live basically sucks and is over with. But the buzz isn't too great around that show, especially with Aaron Sorkin's show, you know, preceding it by so many months. It's probably, I give it one, maybe half a season. I don't think it's going to do that well. They have a decent cast.
Alec Baldwin.
But from what I've heard, it's not really that funny or groundbreaking. It's kind of more of the same.
Well, the interesting thing is when she left, I read someplace, you know, she was the head writer, and she was groundbreaking that she's the first female to be the head writer. But Saturday Night Live hasn't been good for a long time.
Right.
And now she's going to go make a fictional show about that's not very good.
It'll be interesting to see how she does, because she wrote Mean Girls, and that was pretty well received. It was a decent movie. So.
I chuckled at Mean Girls.
Yeah, so, I mean, she can step out and do a more serialized fiction writing. But I don't know that she can sustain it for a whole season or, you know, 8 seasons.
Right, right.
All right. So are you now making this your vocation? It has been your avocation? You figure you're just going to kind of latch into sitting around and, you know, people do this. I mean, there are people who blog television every day. Over TV Squad, they blog television every day.
That is true. And one of my favorite sites, if you haven't checked it out, televisionwithoutpity.com.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's a great, great site where they post reviews of shows, and they're all really, really, really well written and snarky and fun.
Jason, you need to move to New York and go work for the Colbert Report or The Daily Show. Seriously.
That would be great. They're not knocking down my door as of yet.
Well, because they don't know that you're in your parents' basement.
Exactly. Well, yeah, they don't know which door to knock down, you know? They're trying the front door.
You need
and they
to
don't
use
know.
Microsoft Word and print up a little thing that says, Jason, in here. Then we'll get Lindy England to point with her two fingers.
Yeah, right.
So what are you looking forward to seeing this week?
Tonight is... Last night was a show called Smith on CBS.
Okay.
With what's his name? The guy from Goodfellas, Ray Liotta.
Right, yeah.
About a bunch of bank robbers who live a secret life, and his wife is Virginia Madsen. And that was actually pretty decent. So, you know, I'd recommend that. Tonight is a show called Kidnapped on NBC. The previews have looked good.
Isn't that based on the Mel Gibson film, though?
Is it? See, yeah. That might be a problem because I'm sworn off Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
So
there was a Mel Gibson film where he screams into the phone, "Give me back my son!" Or
right.
Whatever.
Ransom.
Which was a horrible movie.
Ransom.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. No difference. I mean, no similarity. My apologies. But is there anything that you're sort of looking at as being like appointment TV, like, you know, wherever I am,
What's coming up that's major?
Yeah.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip was my appointment TV.
That's the big one. Yeah,
that was the one I really wanted to see, and it was nice to see that it didn't. While it didn't blow me away, I can't wait to see the next episode.
Right. Well, the pilots, you know what? The pilots rarely do.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, you go back and watch the first episodes of The West Wing, and they suck. I mean, they're good, but, you know, they have a kind of cheesy quality.
Till they get the rhythm.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was exactly my reaction to it last night. There's still ways to go, but, you know, can't wait for next week.
All right. Well, thank you, dude.
Jason, hey, no, great to talk to you.
Good talking to you guys, too.
Miss you, you mink-wearing love boy.
Well, okay. I can call that in a couple of weeks. But.
Okay, I smell T-shirt. All right, dude. Hey, thanks very much.
Why do I have a feeling that picture is going to show up on Schnauzer Logic?
I don't have a working scanner.
But I do.
Great.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Robin.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kisses.
All right. We'll take a break. Play a little bit. We'll play this week's episode of Real Stories of the Highway Comic, and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. We're all we're getting down here. Robin Goldstein, Susie Fowkes, Dave Fowkes, and you. And we're all going to stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Well, there's something in the water, and there's something in the river. Something's taking over, and I just can't control myself. So we better find protection, and we better talk things over, 'cause I can't be held responsible anymore. Shadow Daisy, but for now I'm thinking maybe this is good. So good. Oh, and the truth, that dotted line across the paper, well, can I tell a story now and maybe say the facts for later? Blessing news, you got me tied up, and that's the truth. So tell me what's the point to do. Is there something something's taking over, and I just can't control myself. So we better find protection, and we better talk things over, 'cause I can't be held responsible anymore. I see you there, oh, in the back of the class, and I try, oh, not to be so obvious, and it's a game. Maybe not as bad as in our past, but just the same. It's always the same. Sooner or later, celebrate like crazy kids. But for now, this pitching fever makes me itch. So don't make me wait. Not with the moon as high as this, 'cause I can't wait another day. There must be something in the water, and there's something in the river, and something. Talk things over, 'cause I can't be held responsible anymore.
road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox. Welcome to Road Stories. I'm Brian Cox, and talk about your highway comics. You know, there are really two different types of comics. Ones who cut their comedy teeth on the comedy club circuit. And those who learn from the ground up, playing everything from a small town bar to a comedy club and every place in between. The club comic will have a tough time in anything but a club, whereas the road comic, well, he's learned how to handle and relate to every type of crowd and get them on their side right away. I've worked with a ton of club comics who go on the road, and why do they do that? Because they want to learn a new facet of the comedy crowd and also try out new material. You see, the comedy club audience will give you a chance to set a joke up. And they are much more forgiving, let me tell you. After all, they're paying good money to see you. On the road, some crowds don't pay to see you. That's right, no cover. And they want to see funny. They want to see funny right now. So the road comic has learned to grab them hard and not let go right off the top of the show. When a road comic plays a comedy club, it's really something to behold. He usually blasts away, rocks the room, not realizing that he can slow down, take his time. Yeah, his next show always contains different pacing. You know, playing a comedy club for a road comic, it's a lot like getting a shot of heroin for an addict, let me tell you. It is beautiful. But sometimes, even a road comic is put into those impossible situations, which you can usually blame your agent for. Oh, and talk about your weird places to do shows. Here, how about this one? I was called out to do comedy at a rodeo. I thought, well, that's not going to be too bad. In small town USA, I got to the arena because it was an indoor rodeo, so the smell had nowhere to go. They had set up a lounge area for the contestants and their girlfriends and boyfriends, and it was a long, narrow room with about 200 people crowded in. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder. The bar was set up against one wall, and these people like to drink. I'll tell you that right now. People were struggling through the crowd to get to the bar. It took about 20 minutes to walk 30 feet to get a beer. Anyway, I found the organizer finally, and I said, okay, I'm here to do the comedy show. Where's the stage? And he goes, stage? What stage? Well, okay, we'll think of something for you. Anyway, an hour went by. I sat there and watched the crowd. He comes back to me. He goes, well, okay, we got a couple of chairs set up over there by the bar. All you got to do is stand on those, okay? So he led me over to the stage. Then silly old me had to ask another question. I said, what about a sound system? Because I was looking out over 200 drunk cowboys, thinking to myself, yeah, maybe a really powerful sound system would be nice. He said, well, the agent didn't say anything about a sound system. Can't you just yell? Well, he went off to see what he could come up with. 45 minutes went by. The crowd was getting more drunk by every passing minute. The organizer returned, get this, with a blaster. And the only mic he could find was one at home. It was a little plastic Barbie microphone. He says, well, now what you got to do is hold the blaster up, talk real loud into the mic. So there I was, standing on the chairs, holding the blaster up, talking into the mic. I did about 20 minutes worth of material, and get this, not a soul was listening. This isn't working at all. 35 people in front could hear, and they were kind of paying attention. I did about another 15 minutes, and then just said, good night, thank you. Went and saw the organizer, and he goes, well, this isn't working, is it? I got paid and left real quick. But just as I was leaving, a guy came up to me from the back of the room and goes, man, that was pretty hard for you, wasn't it? And I just shook my head, and I says, yeah, that's kind of a hell gig for sure. And he goes, yeah, you had a hell of a time trying to get those people to sing karaoke, didn't you? That's Road Stories. I'm Brian Cox.
What?
100% uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
All night long.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 51 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian paternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney, bizarre sense of humor, master's degree in city planning, all of that good stuff. Susie Fowkes, Dave Fowkes, you guys have a good time today?
We are having a blast.
That's great.
Good times.
And we stopped for a little adult libation. In the during the break there. So
adult libations?
This is not radio, my friend. Cheers.
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 Woo! Clink.
I don't get to do this in my normal radio job.
Yeah. Woohoo. This is the Woodford Reserve, my friend, with a single cube.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So you brought in a copy of, was it the Star Magazine?
Oh, it's Star Magazine.
So I have not, you know, it's funny. I when we were doing radio at KSCO, I used to subscribe to all of those because you could always clip some story or
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
And then afterwards, I just felt dirty reading them. So I let the subscriptions expire. Do you, but, you know, when you go to the supermarket, you can't help but notice these things there on the, on the checkout counter. Now, do you have a subscription or do you, oh, you do.
I have a subscription.
More
than one. I subscribe to Us Weekly, People yes. Weekly, and Star.
All right. And which is, what's the difference between the three of them?
People Weekly is actually a decent magazine. It does some celeb gossip, but it does a lot of more human interest stories.
Is it the same as
like
People
that.
Or different than People?
It's People.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
People Weekly. I call it People Weekly, but yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Maybe People used to be monthly. I can't remember.
I don't know. It used to be part of Time Magazine, I think is what it
oh,
was.
It, still
it was a
is.
Section of
yeah.
Time Magazine.
Oh.
And that's when they separated it out.
Perhaps.
I didn't know that. When did they split? Or when
oh,
did they
probably 10, 15 years ago. There was a section in Time every week called People.
People.
Yeah. And then they and then
they created the
Oh, that would have
magazine.
Been Oh, but okay. People's been around for
15, 20 years, something
oh,
like that.
Oh, longer than that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, much longer.
Right.
Since the early 70s, I think.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, thanks yeah. for making me feel old once again, because I could have been drafted for Vietnam. Although not dressed like this. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have passed the draft. So what are the...
I think they would have liked you.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
That's
what the Republicans are afraid
of,
too.
Probably, they'd probably like you better at the USO
so
than
what are
anything
the,
else, but...
Thank you very much. I'm flattered by that. That's very nice. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Oh, no, please. You're too kind. No, you're too kind. You're too kind. No, please. Oh, thank you.
Stop.
Oh, please.
Stop it.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's what I'm worried about. Okay. So, see? Maybe drinking makes the show better. So what are the hot stories in the big magazines this week?
Well, I haven't... You know what? Can I just say I hate my mailman?
Okay.
I hate my mailman.
Of course you can say it.
Get that off your chest.
Mailman.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I get that off my chest?
And by the way, I hated lunch. You know, it just tasted bad.
Well, when you get...
What about those four irons?
when you subscribe to a number of weekly magazines, mm-hmm. you know when they're supposed to be... in your mailbox.
That's true.
And quite frankly, my mailman has been slacking. So I don't get my... There have been days when I've gotten two issues of the same magazine on the same day.
Oh, that sucks.
See?
That sucks.
See what
Are
I'm
you
saying?
Queuing up the violin music? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where,
you know
where
what?
Is
I realized,
the sad violin?
I realized last week that I don't
where
have...
Where is the sad violin?
Oh, that's shit.
Sorry. I need to get sad music.
Yes,
I'm
yes. Yeah. We need sad music because I'm not
Next
getting...
Week.
I'm not getting my gossip magazines on the day that I want them. But anyway, no, I did get my Star magazine today.
And so what's the hot story? What should we all know about in this coming week of distraction?
Actually, the cover story is a really sad story. It's the Anna Nicole story where she went to Bahamas and had a brand new baby girl, and then 2 days later her 20-year-old son died.
Right. In her room.
In her room.
And what does the Star say about
this? They have no idea how he died, and she tried to give him
artificial whatever insemination and tried to
No, I don't think she tried to do artificial insemination.
I don't know that. Oh, well, Anna Nicole doesn't know anything about artificial
anything. Well, maybe she did. I don't know. You know what? Now that I think about it.
Maybe that was the problem.
Exactly.
She tried to give him mouth to mouth. She tried.
There he goes.
She tried to save him.
It's an actual recording of the poor bastard in the room.
What?
Exactly. Sorry.
How to resuscitate.
No, it's a very sad story, but that actually isn't the reason that I read. I mean, that's a very sad story, but the funniest thing about Star is people. I put people on the highest level of gossip magazines. Us is like the next level down.
There's a hierarchy.
Star is the lowest because Star actually used to be a total tabloid. It was right up there with National Enquirer, and then it got glossy and it made itself into a magazine. So now Star puts out these issues, and they're like, "Oh, who's pregnant?" And they just keep making these claims about all these actresses who might be pregnant.
Well, who's pregnant?
Well, they think Pink might be pregnant. They think Avril Lavigne might be pregnant. Everybody apparently
and this is because
is
they have what they're showing a bump. Is that
yeah? And Nicole Kidman, but Nicole Kidman, I think they retracted. Everybody retracted because her.
She just ate a burrito for lunch.
Right. Well, there was a thing.
That thin, it shows.
Yeah, there was a big...
She had the jumbo. That's today.
There was a big thing about and I'm blanking on her name.
That celebrity singer.
Yes,
who
that
you constantly see in the headlines.
That celebrity blonde who was in the Johnny Cash movie.
Reese Witherspoon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They were claiming that
I only
she
had
was
one
pregnant.
Drink.
Everybody, yeah. I've been having a few. I've had a few cocktails while we've been on the air. My apologies.
And your back is feeling better.
And my back is feeling great.
All medicinal.
There you go.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So there were all these stories about Reese being pregnant, and then they had to retract them. And Star posts not pregnant, just bloated. So that has to make Reese feel better.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that music means that we're just about out of time here. 2 hours, if you can believe it.
It feels like
you
just
guys are
10
the
minutes.
Best. Thank you so very much. Dave, thanks so much.
Thanks
for all
having
you've
us.
Done for the show. Susie, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. What's on tap for the week for you? You're going to go back up and can you make like a little can you tell people to avoid the Robin Goldstein Expressway? That's worth $50.
We've got a major accident occurring at the Schnauzer Logic. Please be advised, do not go on the Robin Goldstein Expressway. Traffic is backed up for hours.
And I will never ever forget when I was working at KCBS on the webpage.
Yes.
And you tried to offer me $10.
Was it only
$10?
Every time you put my name in?
Every time I put your name into a story. PG&E spokesperson Robin Goldstein.
Yes,
says,
because nobody knows who the spokesperson is for the Department of Motor Vehicles or PG&E. So just like, yeah. I didn't have to pay out.
I was really tempted.
I would have been
happy
to pay out.
I couldn't do it.
All right. Well, listen, you guys, thank you so very much. And maybe you'll be able to make it to my birthday this weekend, which would be great.
I believe we will.
Big 49. I'm not 50 and I'm not dead. Those two things together mean it's time to sit down and have a drink. Next week, I think Sean will be back, and we'll have John DeCoven sitting in for a round of Win John DeCoven's Money, so that should be very, very exciting. Until then, I love you, Mom, I love you, Dad, I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, don't be attached to the outcome. It is www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. Tell your friends, give us a call, area code's 206-666-6540. Leave a comment, leave a question for Parviz. Leave your laundry. You'll be back in 24 hours. But no tiki, no washi. And that's it. All right. Have a great week. We love you. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
I'm in my vagina.